Well, good morning. Wonderful to be with you guys. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me back. It's always encouraging when you get invited back somewhere. Either means you liked what I said, I wasn't awful, or you think he did a terrible job, he needs a bit more practice. We'll give him a second chance. So you can tell me later which one it was. For those of you who don't know me or weren't here last time I spoke, my name is Matt. I lead the wonderful work of the Message Wales. The Message Trust is a national charity. It's been going for about 33 years, a Christian-run charity, and our aim, our heart, our vision from day one right through to today has always been the same, which is to share the gospel. That is who we are, that is what we do. But specifically, our vision, our remit where we work is that our heart is to share the good news of Jesus, to share the gospel, particularly with those hardest to reach young people and communities. So everything that we do is geared around and centered around sharing Jesus, but often in those places where it's really hard or where other people aren't able to or things like that. So let me pull up some slides and I can show you a little bit. There we go. So give you a brief introduction. So there's me, that's my wife and my wonderful boys. We have been married 18 years, I think, now. We live over in Penarth. My wife's originally from Swansea. I'm from Mid Wales. Met in Manchester, moved back down to Wales, moved to Cardiff 6 years ago to take on the work here with the Message. In terms of what we do, as I say, there's a kind of snapshot overview. I won't spend too much time because I did kind of give a bit of an introduction last time. And of course, if you want to know more, you can always speak to me. I've got some flyers, I've got some brochures, I've got some prayer calendars. So if you'd like to know more about what we do, or you'd like to pray for us, or hey, maybe even if you'd like to financially support what we do, please come and speak to me at the end. But let me highlight a couple of things that we do at the moment, because our kind of reaching the community, as it were, can take all sorts of forms. We run street pastors here in Cardiff. We have community grocery. It's a shop providing food provision for people over in Swansea. And we have these all over the UK, but I'm just telling you about the things that we do in Wales. We've launched all sorts of youth groups and new youth clubs using the Message bus, which you can see in the picture there. We do schools mission. We have teams that go in and deliver lessons in secondary schools, but also bands that come and perform to whole schools and invite them to an end of week concert where they get an amazing night of music, but they also hear a clear gospel message. I think so far this year, we've already been in front of over 5,000 young people in and around South Wales. On average, we see over 10,000 young people every year through the work that we do, and it's my privilege to be able to lead all that. But two things in particular I wanted to share with you. First is prisons work, because we have some amazing people who go into Cardiff Prison here and Park Prison over in Bridgend. Their full-time job is to be outreach workers, evangelists in the prison. Which is an amazing opportunity. They go in and will lead Bible studies, Alpha courses, Christianity Explored, prayer groups, one-to-one discipleship. They will go on the wings and spend time with the men in those prisons. This last year, we ran over 222 group sessions, should I say, in those prisons. We saw 60 men respond to the gospel in those various settings and sessions. As well as working with them in prison, we're then able to work with them out of prison. And we've seen in the last year 18 men that we've worked with who've made a profession of faith, become Christians in prison, and been able to help them on their release, to get them plugged into Christian homes, rehabs, and churches where they can continue to grow and develop and be discipled in their newfound faith. In fact, just this weekend, we had an event on here in Cardiff, and we got one of our guys that we've worked with, a man called Reese, who's from Neath. We first met Reese when he was in Park Prison several years ago. He became a Christian there and was released about 4 years ago now. Reese is doing fantastically well. He came to our event and he just was able to share to a whole room of people how God had transformed his life. And how he's now been able to reconcile with his family. He's plugged into a church over in in Neath. And just earlier this year, a real landmark for him is that Rhys was given permission by the prison that he used to be locked up in to go back into the prison with our outreach worker. And he went and was able to share his testimony to the other prisoners of how God had transformed his life and encouraged them to make similar decisions. That's what we get to do, and that's what I have a privilege of leading. And it's an absolute joy to be able to hear stories like Rhys all the time. Please do pray for us. We know many people are involved in schools ministry, prison ministry, things like that. Of course, many churches do get involved in that stuff. Often what we're able to do is to work across churches and work in an intentional and intense way where, you know, most churches can't afford to employ a full-time prisons worker or a full-time schools worker on their own. But working together, we're able to do these things on behalf of local church. One other story is, of course, I say we work with the hardest to reach communities, so all the different things I mentioned, but also young people is a massive priority of what we do, and we have all sorts of ways that we do that. Wild is our kind of outreach events where we invite people to these activities-based evenings. The scattering is something that's happening here in Cardiff in the summer where we're encouraging, inviting 13 to 18-year-olds to come and join us for a week of mission in Cardiff where they can come together, be trained up, encouraged and spurred on in their faith, and then take their faith out onto the streets and have a go at sharing their faith with other people, praying for people. And so really excited about that. No More Knives is one of the tours that we do where we bring the bands into schools and talk about knife crime prevention, but all from a Christian perspective. We've got 9 secondary schools in Cardiff who are currently interested in us bringing our bands. We're looking at probably spring next year, and so we'll bring our bands, and that means we'll see upwards of 9,000 or 10,000 young people across the week will all be invited to an evangelistic gig here in the city centre. Please be praying for all of that. I think I mentioned last time I came as well, youth nights. So we've been running these termly events where young Christians can come together for prayer and worship and encouragement. And let me tell you, they are one of the most exciting parts of my year, really, going to these events, because what we're seeing is the young people themselves are coming, and the whole point was we wanted them to have a space where they could see there were other Christians their age in the city, in the area, to spur one another on so that they would grow deeper in their faith and become bolder in their outreach. And that is exactly what we're seeing happen, not because of anything that we're doing, but because they are being spurred on by one another. We have young people, we always have a time of testimony, and young people stand up and say, you know, we wouldn't allow a Christian union in our school, so I decided I would set one up, and now we've got loads of people come to the Christian union. And as a young person shares that, the other young people in the room hear that, and soon we hear a few weeks later another half a dozen new Christian unions have sprung up in schools where they didn't exist because they're spurring one another on. Last time we had some young people standing up and saying, oh, I wanted to share my faith with my friend, and we're now reading the Bible together, and they've become even more on fire for Jesus than I am. And of course, then we hear stories through the youth groups of more and more young people saying, I want to do that. I want to have a go. I want to step up in my faith. If you've been reading the news, you would have seen, you know, the Times printed an article not that long ago saying about how Bible sales in the UK have risen by something like, it was about 80 or 87% in the last 5 years. And predominantly that's with youth Bibles. Young people are interested in Jesus. The Bible Society just printed an article called the Quiet Awakening, Quiet Revival. I can't remember the title, but again, they've just a whole bunch of survey where they've shown that actually young people are spiritually curious, interested in church, wanting to find out about Jesus, and we're seeing that with our young people here in Cardiff as well. Let me read to you a message I got from a youth leader after one of the youth nights, and then we'll get into the message for this morning. One of the youth leaders who brought their young people to our youth nights, we get typically over 300, 350 young people along at these events from all over Cardiff and all over South Wales. And one youth leader said, after the young people had shared at youth nights about sharing Jesus with their mates, one of my youth felt God challenged them about one of their friends. She said to herself, she said, why am I not sharing Jesus? I am proud to be a Christian. And so she prayed at youth nights, went home, and then she sent a message to her friend. The message said this: will sound weird, but I think God told me to pray for you. And so here I am praying for you. I mean, there's that. We should celebrate that courage already, shouldn't we? That young people are going, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to just tell my friends, oh, I want to pray for you. So she messages her friend, this will sound weird, but I think God told me to pray for you. And so here I am praying. Her friend immediately replied. And the reply was this, I could feel something happening. I think I should follow Jesus. I mean, that is incredible, isn't it? It's amazing that God is on the move, particularly with young people at the moment. And so we are thrilled and excited that we get to play our part of message of seeing some of that and being part of that. And I do encourage you, if you don't know more about us and what we do, then please do go online, find us, search for us on all the socials, or go on the website, check out what we do. You can sign up to receive our prayer calendars and our monthly magazines, and you can have all the information sent to your door or to your email box. We would really value your prayer, so please do keep praying for us as a church, but also as individuals. And maybe some of you may even feel encouraged to want to financially support what we do. We can't do all of this work on thin air. It does cost money to be able to do mission and to pay salaries. And so we'd love you to consider supporting us if that is something you are able to do. Why don't I pray and then we can get into God's word for this morning. Father God, I thank you that you are on the move, that you are not dead. You rose again, Jesus. You are, as we've just been hearing, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. You are the King on the throne, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the young people here in this church to see their enthusiasm this morning to be able to have that opportunity as they are now to have input and to hear about you in their groups. We thank you for them. We pray for our city. We pray for our nation. God, would you see revival come? It's an old prayer, but it's a good prayer. God, we long to see more of your kingdom here on earth like it is in heaven. So please, Lord, would you use us? Would you use this church? Would you use the message that your name may be lifted high again all throughout this land? We ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Wonderful. Well, having said all that, what I actually wanted to share with you this morning was not from Matthew. We've read Matthew 5, where he talks about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I want to pick up that theme, but in John chapter 8 and just one single verse, verse 12, is where I want to land us in for the next 15, 20 minutes or so. John 8, verse 12, talks about hope. It's one of the I am statements of Jesus, where he says, I am the light of the world. And with Jesus at the center, with Jesus at the center of our hearts, our lives, we have hope, don't we? And hope is a wonderful thing. Hope is something that we can cling to. When we have Jesus in our lives, then he is the example that we choose to follow, the strength that we need to persevere when trouble comes our way now or in the future. Jesus is the one who we turn to, cling to, look to, trust in and follow. In all that he does, we want to be like him. And Jesus, in his wonderful I am statements, makes amazing declarations and promises that we can cling to and be encouraged by. So I want to read to you these words from John and just share a couple of thoughts. Probably nothing new that you haven't heard before, but I hope that you'll be encouraged in your faith and spurred on as Jesus reminds us again of the hope that we can have in him. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In Matthew 5, which we heard read earlier, Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. But the reality is we cannot be the light if Jesus is not first the light in our lives. We are only able to shine a light into this world because Jesus has already shone his light into our lives. The light that we give out is just a reflection as we point people back to God. Jesus, first and foremost, is the light of the world. And Whenever you read the Bible, you'll often see this pattern that happens when God is speaking. He'll often make a declaration, a statement, a promise to his people, which is followed by a condition, something that we are expected to do. And then if we meet those conditions, then there is a promise that goes with it that, you know, God is going to do something. If we play our part, then this is what we can expect, and we don't ever have to doubt that it will come to pass. And we've got that right here too. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That is the declaration, that is the statement this morning. The condition is that this is true for those who follow me. Jesus is the light of the world, but he is only the light in our lives if we've made that decision to follow him. That's the condition whereby we need to make sure that we've adhered to that part before we expect the promises to be true in our own lives. But if we have, and I'm sure many of you have, made that decision to allow Jesus to be Lord and Savior in your life, then we can cling on to these promises and never question or doubt God when he says that you will not walk in darkness and you will have the light of life. I just want to break those four little pieces down a little further with us in the time that we've got, if that's okay. So starting with Jesus being the light of the world. I had a telling moment in my own house not that long ago where, like many of you, we had lost something, car keys, TV remote. It was something along those lines that had been lost and could not figure out where it was. Turned the house upside down, retraced your steps, did all the usual stuff that you do and didn't know what else to do, and got to the point where I was on my hands and knees trying to search under the sofa and behind the side cabinets and, you know, all the places where you wouldn't expect something to be, but you were like, I'm desperate. I need to find this thing. We have a side table and it's got a very low kind of short leg, and so underneath it's quite a dark space, hard to see. So I did what only you would naturally do, is I got the torch from my phone and I shone the torch under this side cabinet, and lo and behold, very quick story really, we found what we were looking for. But here's the thing, and this is what God really spoke to me out of that very incidental mundane moment, is that when I shone that light under the side table, it did two things. First of all, it illuminated the space. It brightened it up so suddenly we could see everything that was hidden in this darkened corner of our house. It enabled us to, first of all, find the thing that we were looking for. This hidden treasure, if you like, the remote control, the car keys, the thing that we couldn't live without. But also, actually, it illuminated a whole lot of other things. There was some money that we found under there. Praise God, we found some money. That's great. It was probably like 5p, but it was great. We found some money. We found a missing toy, a lost car, a bullet from a Nerf gun. We found all sorts of hidden treasures under there that some of them we'd lost and had given up hope on. Some of them we never even knew existed. They were just there. We're like, wow, look at all these wonderful treasures. All these things were illuminated by the light of the torch shining under the cabinet. And we're able to find and have these things that we didn't know that were ours to have. But the other thing that happened at the same time was all really one thing. But the other thing that happened, as well as illuminating all of these wonderful treasures, the light that shone under the cabinet also exposed an awful lot of mess. There were dust balls galore under there. We have a wooden floor and dust just seems to gather in balls and collect over there like it's a football stadium, all just crowding in into big corners. There were bits of half-eaten grapes. There were moldy things that we didn't even know what they were before they grew mold. There was stuff that just made you go, ooh, what is that? There was an awful lot of nasty, horrible, unwanted things under that side table that we never knew existed as well. Now, what I could have done is I could have just reached in, grabbed the one thing that I wanted, and ignored and left the rest of it. But that probably isn't the best way to manage a household, right? And so I did the sensible thing. I got the big brush on the long stick, and I swept everything out and brought all of the stuff out, all of the good and all of the bad. I collected up the good, threw away all the bad, left the place clean, at least for a few days until it started to gather again. Why am I telling you this story? Well, I just wanted to illustrate this point. I wanted to paint the picture for you this morning of what God's love for us is like and what the light of Jesus shining into our lives is like. You see, when we say yes to God and we allow God into our lives, the light of God shines deeply into our hidden places. And we all rejoice and love when God gives us good gifts and he reveals to us hidden treasures in our own lives or gives us things we never knew that we had, gives us additional skills or abilities to do stuff, grows our faith. We enjoy when God comes into our life and illuminates the good and grows us and blesses us. Of course we do. But we also need to recognize that when we allow the light of Jesus into our lives, he is also going to expose the mess, the dirt, the bits that we don't like, the sin in our hearts, the sin in the corners of our heart that we don't want anyone to see or know about, or even character flaws that we weren't aware that we had. God will expose them, not to shame us, but because he wants them to be dealt with. And the truth is that the light of Jesus in our lives does both, and you can't have one without the other. Often we'll talk with young people and really want to impress on them that they want Jesus to be their best friend. That bit they get. But they're not so sure about having Jesus expose the sin in their lives, the mess, the brokenness, the flaws that they like have. Hey, actually, why am I saying young people? All of us. It's not comfortable when Jesus draws close. And I wonder sometimes, and maybe even might challenge us this morning, that sometimes we keep Jesus at arm's length. Yes, he's the king on the throne, but we can keep Jesus at arm's length because we don't want him to illuminate the bad stuff in our own hearts and lives. We'd much rather leave it, ignore it, and pretend it doesn't exist. But the problem in doing that and keeping Jesus at arm's length is also we don't get to have the fullness of relationship with him. We don't get him to illuminate the good parts in our life. We don't get to the blessings that come from knowing Jesus in the same way. If we keep Jesus at arm's length, if he's just somebody that we pay homage to, sing our songs and pray our prayers, but we don't have a living relationship with the king on the throne, our lives are not fuller for it. And I just want to encourage you and encourage anyone I get an opportunity to speak to encourage you to allow Jesus to shine his light into every part of your life. The thing about Jesus, of course, is not he's not just a light. He's not just like the torch light on my phone, because Jesus is the light of the world, isn't he? He's far more than just any old light. There's no corner that's too dark for the love and light of Jesus to shine. There's no distance too far. There is nowhere that can hide. There's nothing that is outside of his limits of influence and power. But here's that second point. Whoever follows me, that's the condition. That's the choice that each and every one of us have to make. Sometimes in that first off moment of salvation, but actually I'd say in every day, we need to continually make sure we're checking our hearts, that we're not growing hard to the things of God or hardened to the things of the world, and that we are constantly choosing Jesus every day. We can't expect the provision of God. We can't expect the presence of God if we haven't chosen to follow him and are actively choosing to follow him, to submit to his authority and allow him to speak into our lives on a daily basis. So where does that leave us? If we are willing to acknowledge that Jesus is the light of the world and we choose to follow him, well, the promises from that verse in John tell us this. First of all, that we will never walk in darkness. This is the encouraging bit, friends. This is the bit that I get excited about. You may be in dark places. You may be going through difficult times. You may be physically facing persecution or just going through some difficult situations in your life. Maybe you're just in a dark place in your own mind right now. But I want to encourage you that the darkness should not overwhelm you. John 1 verse 5, it says, you know, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. I think of Psalm 23 where the psalmist writes, you know, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as close to death as you can get. I walk through these difficult scenarios. And what does the psalmist say? Well, he says, I will fear no evil. Even though I'm surrounded by darkness and I am close to death, I will not fear evil because God is with me. In those dark places, God is always with us. And you can't ever extinguish the light by adding more darkness. It's just physically impossible. It scientifically doesn't work that way, does it? If I put my light on my torch now in this room, you'd be able to see it, but it wouldn't have that much effect because there's so much other light in this place. But if I took my phone down to a deepest cave or one of the mines around here in the valleys and then put the light on, it would illuminate the whole cavern. The light hasn't changed. The space in which I am shining the light has is what has changed. And actually, the darker the place, the brighter the light shines. And I actually think that's encouraging for us because we do live in a time, we live in a world which does seem to be getting darker. It does seem to be getting more secular. It does seem to be getting more opposed to God in lots of ways. But we can be encouraged because that means the light of God will shine all the brighter. For those of us who cling to Jesus, the light of God will shine all the brighter in these darker times. The light of God, which is with you and is in you, will become a beacon of hope for those who are still in the darkness. And finally, the verse says, not just will the light of, I'm going to read the verse again because it's been a while since we heard it. Jesus says, when I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. Jesus, the light of the world, will be with you and in you and live through you and shine out of you all the days of your life. That's a promise that we can cling to. That's what I'm encouraged by today and every day. I hope you're encouraged by this morning. Just that reminder again that the light of the world, God, as Jesus, we've heard this morning, is ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, but he has given us his help with the Holy Spirit. And through the Spirit, we now have relationship with God. We have access to the Father. The light of the world shines in us and through us. Jesus goes on to say in John 10:10 that I have come to give you life and life in all its fullness, life in abundance, life to the full. That doesn't mean that God's going to remove us from our difficulties, our persecution, our troubles and sickness. No, God's not removing us from this world. But when we look at the world through the lens of Jesus, it gives us new purpose, doesn't it? It gives us new meaning, new focus. It gives us a new reason for living. Whenever we go through difficulties and hardships with Jesus by our side, we have the hope to endure, to persevere, and to shine brightly for him. I think that's why people like Job in the Bible, who went through tremendous suffering and had incredible loss, was still able to say at the end of all of it, I will still praise the Lord. When we know Jesus, when we make him Lord of our lives, we receive the grace of God. And we're able to give out that grace to others. We receive the peace of God, which goes beyond our human understanding, guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we're able to be peaceful, even in the chaos of the storm. We have strength. Not in our own physical ability, but the strength that comes from knowing God. The ability to persevere, to have patience, love, and boldness to let our light shine for God. It's incredible, isn't it? I know I'm telling you things you already know, but every time I remind myself, my heart lifts. I remember of the goodness of God in my own life. I'm sure you think the same. Jesus is the light of the world. And through his death and resurrection, he invites us now to live for him and to reflect his glory. Which brings us right back to Matthew 5, where Jesus tells us to be the light. We are now encouraged to shine brightly for God. It says in Philippians, to shine like stars in that vastness of space, that kind of eternal stretch of darkness. The thing that makes it stand out is the stars shining brightly in the sky. That's who we are called to be in this place, in this earth, in this city. To shine as bright as stars, that when people look at us, they see the love of God. And let me finish with this. I love 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. I love the verse which talks about Moses. Moses, who went up the mountain and met with God and would come back down and tell the people what God had been saying. But when he came back down the mountain, his face was so radiant, it shone from being in the presence and the closeness of God, that the people were afraid, and they told him he had to cover his face. So whenever Moses came back down the mountain, he would put a veil over his face, because the radiance of God was too much for the people to bear. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it has this wonderful verse where it says that we now with unveiled faces reflect the glory of God. We're not going to hide it anymore. It's not something that should be ashamed of. It's not something that is to be put away or kept in a darkened room. We are to lift the veil and shine brightly for the sake of others, so that they too would know the truth. Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. Be encouraged by that, because you will always have the light of life with you. So how do we respond to this? Well, we need to pray, and we'll do that now. We need to ask God to light up our lives, to illuminate and to expose the good and the bad in our own hearts, to guide us in darkness, and to help us to have confidence to shine for him. So let's pray together now. Yeah, Father God, I do thank you for your love. I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you that you have made a way for us to come into relationship. And we enjoy that today, and we thank you for that today. Thank you that you have called us to have an intimate relationship with you, to know you personally, to be changed and transformed by you, to be more like you. So God, I ask now, each and every one of us, would you come and illuminate our lives? Would you expose the bad, and would you draw out the good? Would you help us, Lord, to shine brightly for you? For those walking in darkness now or going through difficult times, I pray, God, give them the strength, give them the eyes to see that you are with them, that you will sustain them, and you will protect them in those dark moments. But above all, God, I pray you would help us to fulfill that great commission that you have left us with, to shine brightly like stars in a crooked and deprived generation, to be the light that others might see you and know that you are true. Thank you for all you are doing and continue to do, God. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you this morning. Amen.